Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
It's a new month, so that means we have a new message series. Do you guys know what the message series is called?
Love.
And if you looked at the TV out there, or the TVs in here before the day started, you would know that the complete message of that is love looks like something. Love looks like something. That is the message series for this month. So when somebody asks you in the streets, what's your message series at your church? The message series is love looks like something, because it does. And you'll find out that love is someone. God is love. God is love. Are you ready to be the biggest receiver of God's love and the biggest giver? In a broken and divided and distracted world, choosing God's love is the boldest decision you can make. This month, we are unpacking what it means to practically love because he first loved us. Anchor your identity as sons and daughters of a loving Father, and to discover how to live from God's love and not for it. Our key verse, and somebody already said it today, for the month. So write this down, because every week when you come in, you're going to be asked, what is our key verse for the month? What is the message series verse? And this is it. 1 John, little John, 1 John 4:19. We love. Why? Because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Or as the Passion Translation says it, our love for others is our grateful response to the love that God first demonstrated to us. The love there, in the Greek form, is agapaio. Yep. That's the Greek word for it. It means to love. It means to love. Do you guys have your Bibles today? You got them ready to go? So the new message series is called Love Looks Like Something. This week's message is called Love Looks Like Something. Whoa, mind blown with that. Love looks like something. And my key verse for today, another one that was taken this morning in bit. My key verse for this today, key verses is Ephesians 3:16-17. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, how? Through faith. And that you being rooted and grounded in love. The rooted there, the Greek root for that is herzio. It means to root, to cause, to take root, to become stable. I want you to take root in being grounded in his love. I want you to be stable in that truth, to be grounded in his love, to know it, to trust it, to experience it, to be settled with it, to be settled in his love for you. Why this is so important. Love is one of the most sought-after things in our life. If we don't truly know what it is, we can run into great hardship. However, when we truly know love, or who love really is, we can live for Him and not for ourselves. We can live from God's love, not to strive for it. We can live from a place of love and not from a place where we're striving to get love that's already freely been given to us. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, going through some verses. Oh, know what I forgot to do? Because I was so into it, I forgot to pray. I got to do that. Father God, we just thank You for today. We thank You for this message series that You are giving us this month on Love Looks Like Something. And I just ask right now, Father God, that You would just bless everybody here to receive all that You have for them. And by the end of this, Father God, that they would know a little bit more about how much You love them. And not only that they know a little bit more about how much You love them, but they trust in that love a little bit more. That they trust in that love. Because when they do, it changes everything. Okay. Whew. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm getting there too. My little thing was there. Hold on a second though. God's love for us looks like something, but I think most of us don't know what that is, or even worse, how to handle it when we experience it, the great love of the Father. Love is something that God wants us to know, even more importantly, God wants us to trust in His love for us as best we can. Because once we do, it opens up everything He has for us. Now we can walk with authority and boldness that only comes when we walk confidently in the love He has for us. But like most things, His love is different from what the world says love is. And this is a great thing because once we know it, and once we receive it, and once we know how to handle it, we can be truly used by God. Once I know and trust that God loves me, then I know that He has His best in mind for me. So from now on out, everything that I face or that I don't face, I know it is for my good because I know that He loves me. To be even more clear, when we live a life from a position of love, knowing that I'm loved securely by God instead of seeking Him for His love, this takes my eyes off me and my concerns, and it changes it to having my eyes on Him and what concerns Him. See, that's why it's so important, because once I do understand His love for me, I can stop worrying about all the things because I trust the One that loves me. And then all my concerns, all the things that I worry about can be set aside because I know He has His best for me. And now I can go to Him and ask what He wants me to do with my life. I can truly give myself over to all that He has for me. Mm-hmm. From this place of love, where His love is a motivator, we can serve from love. We can witness from love. We can worship from love. And we can face life from a place of being loved. Ooh. Just think about that for a second. living from a place of being loved, to know and understand. I'm excited about talking about love, but I'm also a little afraid about talking about love. And the reason that I am is because it is so important for you guys to understand what true love is. And to know the difference from what true love is from God as opposed to some of the love that we try to find in the world. Because once you know what true love is, and once you know that you truly have His love for you, it changes everything about you. And it changes how you see the world and how you see others. It changes your what you feel about your future or what you know about your future. It's like, I don't have to fear what's going to come ahead because I know what God has for me. I know He's a good God. That thing is solidified in my life, and I know that He loves me. That's solidified in my life, so I can go face the future without any fear whatsoever. So that's why it's important for me, and it's, you know, and that's why I feel it's so important to help you guys understand what love is, what it looks like, so you can tell the difference between a false love and a true love. Because once you do, and you transition from living a life seeking love and living a life from love, I cannot tell you how important that is and how much it's changed my life. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I know more of the song, but I don't want to sing it here. I spent a lot of my life looking for love in all the wrong places. I spent a lot of my life looking for love in all the wrong places because I thought that's what love truly was, because I only had seen it exemplified for me from that place. Love was about making love. Love was about finding somebody to be with. Love was about myself. Love was trying to get the best for me and not the best for the person that I was seeking that love from. And it ruined a lot of things, and it messed up a whole bunch of stuff. And so I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And God doesn't want that for us. God wants us to know what true love is so we can stop looking for love in all the wrong places and feeling that we are left out because we're not. Because we know that we are right where we're supposed to be. And if He's the one that only, He's the only one that loves me, that's good enough. What does love look like? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to see some things. What love doesn't look like, and what does love look like? What is the characteristics of true love? And in chapter 13, verse 1, I'm going to start there. The things we're about to talk about are so awesome. But if you don't have love, these things don't mean much. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels and do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. To speak with tongues of men and angels, awesome. But if I don't have love, what does it look like? If I don't have true love, it makes me a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, which is awesome, and I know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. Wouldn't that be awesome to speak the tongues of angels and to have faith to move mountains where they're literally being moved? But I do not have love. It means I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. All these things in the Christian life, if you were to do all these things, it would be amazing. But if you have not love, it means nothing. It profits me nothing. Okay, God, I don't want to do that. I want to do those things, but I want to do it in love. I don't want to be a noisy clanging cymbal. I want things to profit me because I'm in love with the people I'm doing it with. And this is what love looks like. This is what the Father's love looks like. This is the characteristics of true love. Right here in verse 4, love is patient. Ooh. I mean, I got to wait. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. And is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And this is the greatest truth. Love never fails. Amen. Love never fails. God never fails. His love for you never fails, because his love for you is not based upon you. And that's what I didn't get for the longest time. I thought God's love for me was based on how I acted and who I was and how I looked, even though I looked so awesome. It's not based upon your family. It's not based upon your mom and your dad. It's not based on the city that you were born in. He loves you because it's his nature to love you. That's who he is. God is love, and he loves you. And once you understand that he loves you despite yourself or because of yourself, whatever it is, it's his nature to love you, and he loves you. Once you understand that, once you're rooted and grounded in that place where his love never fails, it never goes away, it never shifts, it never wavers, it never goes away, then you can love with patience. You can love and be kind. You don't need to be jealous anymore, because the only love that you want is the love that you get, and it's never going away. Because when you turn your affections towards him instead of the people and around the world that you're looking for all these things, and you know you have his love, you're not going to be unbecoming anymore. You're not going to seek your own. You're not going to be provoked. You're going to love correctly because you know that love. You know what's awesome about that? Because once you know his love, once you know his love, then you can speak with tongues of men and of angels and have love, and you're not a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You can have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and know the knowledge, but you're doing it from a place of love and have all the faith and move mountains. You have something because he has you. Then give all your possessions. Wow. Love looks like something. In the verses I just read, we see what it's not, but we also see what it is. What is this true love and what it looks like? God is love. I'm going to keep on saying that so it gets into our minds. God is love. And now that we've looked at that, Let's look at love in action through God's word. But you're saying, Pastor Caleb, we're already in God's word. We're going to look even deeper into God's word. And we're going to look at some people who saw the greatness and the power of God's love and their lives were transformed. So if you could, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go from verse 24 to 27. Who's going to be first? I am. Whoop, not quite there. I'm there now. Here we're going to see Paul talk about all the things that he faced during his time in ministry, the trials that he went through. But Paul knew God loved him. And Paul knew that God had his best in mind for him. That no matter what he faced, and this is going to seem like a hard thing. It's like when you read some of this stuff, it's like, wait a minute, how is God loving? This sounds pretty vicious. So we're going to start at verse 24, and Paul is giving an account of what he has gone through in his ministry. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashings. That would hurt. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Have you ever guys had to pull a switch when somebody asked? You know, like when I was growing up, if you were bad, you had to go pick a switch. And if it came back flimsy, you had to go pick another one up. That was vicious. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned 3 times. I was shipwrecked a night and a day. And I have spent in the deep. And I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers and dangers from robbers and dangers from my countrymen and dangers from the Gentiles and dangers in the cities and dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea and dangers from the false brethren. I've labored in hardships through sleepless nights and in hunger and thirst and without food, cold and exposure. Who? All these things that he just laid out there. If Paul wasn't rooted and grounded in the truth of God's love for him, if that wasn't the case for him, how could he face all these things and still hold true to what God had for him? Still hold true to the calling? Paul was rooted and grounded in love. Many times Paul faced tribulation throughout his life, as we had seen in these last few verses. But through it all, he knew he was greatly loved by God. And we can see this in the verses in Romans that Paul wrote, that nothing could separate him from the love of God. And now Paul wants others to know that love. If we could turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and go over it again. Paul wants us to know this. And he was speaking to a church in Ephesians from, he wrote this, we believe, from prison in Rome. He wrote this to the people of Ephesus or that side of Asia. He's writing in this, these next verses from a place of tribulation, from a place in prison. And as Pat said earlier, and I want to read again, but as I do so, I want you to think about that. Think about what I just said, all the things that Paul went through, and all the things that Paul was facing right at the moment, being under lock and key. And what he's about to speak now to the people of Ephesus and to us today. He wants it so much for you to understand the love of God. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that he would do so, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that you may be able to understand, that you may be able to know, that you may be able to get this with all the saints, what the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, what surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. He's praying that you would understand and glimpse some of what God has for you. But his love is so good for us that it surpasses knowledge. So the greatest minds in the Christian world, if you put all their minds together, it still wouldn't gather all the love that God has for us, because it surpasses knowledge. Now that we know that we're loved boldly, we can live and love boldly. Now that we know that God loves us securely and boldly, now it changes us. It transforms us so we can transform the world around us. He wants you to be secure in that, to go and live boldly. But the only way you can is when you trust that he loves you. I was listening to a pastor this week, and one of the quotes he has, he says, "I was born to be loved by God and to love others. That love is measurable by how much I love others. If I don't love others, you have every right to question my love for God." Who? Who? In that deep. In that serious right there. I love you, God. I love you, God. But I just told off the lady at the clerk station. I just saluted somebody when they drove and cut me off in the road. I love you, God, so much. But the person that's down the road, the person that lives down in Ithaca, I can't stand them. He first loved us so we can love. The key verse, we love because he first loved us. And the evidence that we know that he loves us is how we treat other people. Do you love God? And is the evidence that you love God there by the way you love others? And it's not just the people that are awesome to love, easy to love. It's the people that are easy to hate. The people that make you mad, the people that make fun of you, the people that hurt you, the person at your work that took advantage of you, the one that stabbed you in the back, the one who did it knowingly. Sometimes for me, I can understand sometimes. Somebody cuts me off in the road. They didn't see me or something was happening. I can understand. But sometimes it's hard for me when I know what you've done and you know you did it deliberately to me. I know who you are and I know you did that because of who I am. That's when it's hard to love. But Jesus says, love those who despitefully use you. Love those. Do you love? We love because God first loved us. Can other people see the measure of your love the measure of your love of God by how much you love others. And this doesn't mean that I'm trying to prove my love for God so I just accept everybody else's actions and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. Love looks like something. God's got characteristics of what that love is. That love does not mean that you let other people walk all over you and take advantage of you and things like that. That's not what that love is. Love is a correcting love. Love is sometimes a tough love. But there's still love there. Love looks like something. And in these last closing minutes, because we're getting there, when I trust that God loves me securely, I can encounter the world for him because my eyes are on him now. Because I'm living from a place of love and not looking for a place for love. When I know I'm loved securely, I can face the things of tomorrow. When I know I'm loved, I can pray for things and receive a no and still know that God loves me. When God says yes, or when love says yes, and when God says no. I have these two stories here of how I encountered God's love, hearing a yes and hearing a no, because I knew he had his best for me. Back in 2010, I was asked by Pastor Tom if I wanted to go to Israel with him. And I said, yes, that would be so awesome. I want to go to Israel. And I prayed and I heard God say, yes, you're going to go to Israel. But as we got closer to the event of going, we found out that the people we were going to be, it was like a men's conference over in Israel. And I was looking so forward to it because they were going to do a whole bunch of awesome things. And he's like, they just jacked the price up another $1,000 or so. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't go anymore. And for a second there, I was like, oh, man, I can't go to Israel. But I knew God loved me. And something inside me said, you're still going to go to Israel. This is a yes for you. So a couple months later, unbeknownst to me, the Millers had a worship camp, and they needed chaperones because they were going to take this worship camp to Israel, and they asked me and Nat to go. So I got to go to Israel. Love said yes to me because he has his best for me. But there was this other time, because love, Jesus, God has his best for me, where he said no. And it was such a blessing. And it's a blessing still today. Back in 2012, me and Nat believed that we were supposed to go move to South Carolina. We knew it. We're like, man, we were supposed to go to South Carolina because we had our one boy was down there and we liked going down there and we just loved the area. We loved Myrtle Beach. We were like, oh, I want to go to South Carolina. I want to live there. It's more my style of everything down there. And we thought we were supposed to leave. So we went to look at some places down there, and when I got there, I knew that I knew that I knew that this was not the place for me. God's love said no to me, and it was the greatest thing, because now I get to be up here, and now I get to be in front of you guys. God's love said no. Thank you, Lord. I was introducing love this week, which is a little hard because there's a lot of aspects of love. And as we go through this message series, we're going to hone in on more areas of what God's love looks like, because God's love looks like something. And Pastor Hannah will speak next week on her topic, and she'll hone in on it. But I was just trying to give a grand thing, the bigger picture of God's love and why that's important to walk in God's love, to be solid in his love for you, and to trust in his love. So if you could all rise, we are going to end this. I want to bless you with God's love today, that you would be rooted and grounded in his love, that you would understand it and that you would know it, and most of all, that you would trust it. And not only that you would know how to handle his love for you. Because I'm telling you right now, once you feel his love for you, it'll blow your mind. Once you understand what that feels like and know what it is, and when you cry out, Abba, Father, ooh, it changes your life. I want to bless you to receive that, but also to give it, to share it with those around you this week. I want to bless you with God's love that's patient, that is kind, that is not jealous. God's love that does not brag and is not arrogant and does not act unbecoming. God's love that does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth and bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. And I want some of you to know today that God's love endures all things. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done or where you've gone. But God's love endures all things. And may you be the biggest receivers and givers of God's love this week. Father God, bless everybody here. Bless them in their comings and goings. But don't let your message stop at the door. Let your message continue all over the area. That your love looks like something. And that your love never fails. Bless everybody here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.